Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. This is going to be the 11th installment of our series, The Grab Bag. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about secession, tax policy, and the possessive nature of the left. So, buckle your seatbelts. This episode is called The Grab Bag Part 11. Let's get started. So, first I'd like to talk about the possessive nature of the left. The left thinks that they own a lot of people. I've experienced this because I'm a former leftist, as I've mentioned, and so there are some on the left who think that they own me, that I should not have left, that I should not have thought for myself, that they can bully me into getting back in line. So this could be written off as typical cult behavior if it was limited to their former members, because the cults, a lot of them, will try to either physically bring you back if you leave, or if they know you're thinking about leaving, they will try to manipulate you and bully you into not leaving, or they will, a lot of cults will shun you if you leave, so all the support system you've built with the members, you lose that instantly because all the members will stop talking to you. And then also, a lot of times if you have family that's in the cult and you leave and they don't want to leave or they can't leave for whatever reason, they will receive retribution on your behalf, because if the cult can't get to you, they'll get to them. Or... you know, if the cult can't physically bring you back, they'll try to create a bad name for you out in the world so that it makes it harder for you to build a new support system once you have lost the old one that you had because you're no longer in the cult. North Korea does similar things, which is one of the reasons why I said North Korea is a cult, because if you leave North Korea, not only are your family going to most likely end up in a labor camp, but if North Korea wants to make a statement, they will get one of your family members to make a video or otherwise talk to the media and say that you are defecting because you've been accused of a crime or that you're otherwise a bad person. This has happened at least once. So... North Korea tries to do everything it can to hurt you if you leave the country, and they can't always do a lot, but they do make an effort, and that's what cults do. A lot of cults will try to seek retribution against people who leave in whatever way they can, because then they can not only make life harder for that person, because how dare you leave, but also they can make an example out of you so that anybody else who might be thinking about leaving might say to themselves, I don't know if I want to end up like that guy. So the left kind of does the same thing. They think they can bully people into getting back in line. Not only getting back in line as in believing or at least pretending to believe the things that the left wants them to believe, but also... not even just people, but corporations too. For years, pretty much every major corporation in the book would put out all the rainbow crap in June and would join in all the other leftist festivities because they felt pressured to do so by the left. It's like every cult's dream is to have that level of power over the rest of the world. So, their possessiveness could be written off as typical cult behavior. I've experienced it personally, because as I've said many times, and probably will say many more, I used to be a member of their movement. So, they think that they can bully me into getting back in, and that's not going to happen. I'm not a wind-up toy that you can just make me go where you want, and I'm not... a sheep. I mean, we are all sheep for in God's eyes, but when it comes to this worldly stuff. I am not a sheep that will just follow things that I don't believe in. So they can try all they want, but they may as well just try to herd cats and pull teeth at the same time, because it's not going to work out well for them. But getting back to what I was going to say is that it's not typical cult behavior, because not only does the left do this to actual former members, but also to people that they have decided should be members of their movement who are not. So, if you're a conservative woman, or if you're a black conservative, or if you're a Hispanic conservative, or if you're a conservative but you also struggle with certain sinful inclinations, they will attack you, especially if you manage to get into high office. They will attack you in the press, and they will try to make it look like you should be a member of their group. And they will call you a traitor. They will not treat you very well at all. And I mean, they also treat conservative white men the same way, except without calling them a traitor and whatnot. But the fact that they think they own you because of things you can't control, or things you can control but you don't know it yet, they don't act like a typical cult. Then they kind of go a step above a cult, if you know what I mean. So those are my thoughts on the left. I mean, we saw it when it came to, I wasn't around for this yet, but from what I've read and heard from those who were, when Clarence Thomas was nominated to the court, the left acted very racist towards him, because heaven forbid he's black conservative. And then, you know, as I've said, I'm a conservative woman, so I've experienced some of this, not the racism stuff, but like the, oh, well, you're a woman, you should, how dare you not believe in the left? How dare you not support the mass slaughter of unborn children? Like, so the left, you know, they scream and cry about slavery, and yet here they are wanting to basically create thought slavery, really. They want to enslave the minds of those that they think should fit into their group because of superficial characteristics, or because of sins that they struggle with, but because of a leftist dogma that we are taught now, have been for years, which is that some sins of the flesh are, that you're born with them, which is obviously a lie, but you're taught that so that the left can not only support making those sins normalized and giving the people who struggle with them things that they shouldn't have, like the ability to get married to another member of the same sex, or the ability to go into the opposite sex bathroom because you claim you're a member of that sex. So the left justifies all of that, wanting to grant all of those requests by claiming that you're born that way, which, as I said, is obviously a lie. And then when you claim that you've been healed from it, which I have, because I have been healed from it, and they'll say, well, that's not a thing. That doesn't happen. It's like, so you're saying I don't exist. Thank you. It's usually my response. The next thing I want to get into is tax policy. So, there's been a common proposal now saying that there should be no taxes on tips. Now, I'm all in favor of giving people tips and commissions and stuff like that. I think that people in service jobs should be rewarded for good service. I do think tips are very overused, especially when you order at a place and then they want you to give a tip to the iPad, or when you go to a store and the self-checkout wants a tip. Why does the self-checkout need a tip? It's a machine. It's not even a human being. There's no humans involved at all unless you need help and you have to get the self-checkout attendant to come help you. So I do think tips are overused. And the amount you're expected to tip can be a little bit too much at times. However, I'm not opposed to the idea of a tip as a whole. I can see it if you sit down somewhere and you have a waitress or a waiter and they are helpful and they, you know, they're polite, they respectful, and they give you good service as timely as they can. I understand that sometimes the restaurant's busy, or they don't have a lot of people in the kitchen, so it might take a little bit because of that. But if they are as timely as they can be, then yeah, they should get a tip. And I can see why somebody would say, oh, well, we shouldn't tax that. But I don't think that there should be a carve-out just for tips and everybody else should have to pay income tax. What I think should happen is we should just get rid of the income tax. Okay, no taxes on tips. That also means no taxes on commissions, no taxes on your typical income, no taxes on rent income. I think we should just get rid of the income tax. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but that's what I think. We didn't always have it, and we were just fine without it. And then people will say, oh, but the government has a big budget. Well, here's the thing. I think when the government thinks they have more coming in and or that they can just borrow their way out of any debt problems they may have, those two pathologies when it comes to budgeting encourage them to spend more. If they know they have less to work with, and especially if they can't find as many people to borrow from, because they have so much debt already, those two things will encourage them to shrink the budget, as well as electing people who actually want to shrink the budget. I don't think we should rely on elected politicians to solve all of our problems, but this is a case where they can play an important part. We're already seeing that with a review of foreign aid and whatnot, and I think that's good. And you know, I think that if we're going to eliminate taxes, it shouldn't just be on tips. It should be on all income, because that's the only fair way to do that. It's not fair to only carve out tips as the one exception, and everybody else has to pay this income tax. And another thing is that while I'm not sure how I'd feel about the government like coming down on businesses and requiring this, I do think that it is unethical for businesses to pay servers these pitiful wages and then expect them to depend on tips. As I said, I don't have a problem with a tip as a reward for good, timely service and respectful behavior towards customers. However, I don't think that people should be pressured by having to depend on tips for most of their income. I also feel the same way about commissions. I think that if you're going to do a sales job, especially if it's a full-time sales job, but even if it's part-time too, I think if you're going to do a job and you're gonna work, then you should receive some kind of base salary. Doesn't have to be huge, but you should receive a decent base salary, and then commissions from sales. And for sales, it's even more so because when it comes to sales, you're not always guaranteed to have customers every time you see somebody that might buy your product. At least with a restaurant, if somebody's sitting down at a table, they're at least going to order something, most likely. But when it comes to sales, you are not guaranteed to make every sale by any means, nor should you be, especially if you're selling something that not everybody needs. It's like those, sometimes you'll find like internet salesmen or insurance salesmen running around, and it's like, not everybody wants whatever internet or insurance you're selling. So to be pressured into trying to make a sale with every face you see is kind of messed up, to be honest. Now, the third and final thing I want to get into today is secession. So, as y'all know, I think that any state or group of states that wishes to secede from the Union, or even a part of a state, should be allowed to do so. I also think that if part of a state wants to either break off and form its own state or break off and join another state, it should be able to do so. And I don't just think that about liberal states. I don't just think that about conservative states. I think that about no matter what your political views are. And I don't think you should do it just willy-nilly. I think you should have some kind of reason. I don't know how I'd feel about legally requiring a reason. I think that's, you know, if you want to just leave for no reason, that's your prerogative, but I don't think you should. So I think there should be some sort of reason or list of grievances that motivates you to leave. Like there's a movement among some Oregon counties to join Idaho, for example, instead of being a part of Oregon. And it's because, you know, they don't want to be, they're conservative counties, they don't want to be a part of more liberal Oregon. They'd rather be a part of Idaho. That's fine. They should be able to do that. California has announced that they are trying to secede. They're in the early steps. They've got a petition. They've got the Secretary of State is on board with it, from everything I've seen. And, you know, if California wants to secede, go ahead. Be my guest. And some people will say that just because it's California, there's some who will say, oh, great, that means we have less Democrats. Now, I don't agree with a lot of the things California supports, but I would say the same thing if it was Texas. If it was Texas, I'd say, go ahead, secede. If it was Hawaii, which was, need I remind you, a kingdom that was then conquered and overthrown. If it was Alaska, whatever state it is, if it was a group of states, if, like, for some reason the entire Pacific Northwest decided they wanted to break away and form their own country, okay, fine. If you joined voluntarily, or if you were forced to join the Union, like Hawaii, then, which Hawaii wasn't forced to become a state, but it was made into a territory, either way, you should be able to leave, because either you joined voluntarily, meaning you should be able to leave voluntarily, or you weren't given a choice in the first place, so you shouldn't just be held against your will. That's what we call a hostage situation. I mean, when it comes to the first idea that you joined voluntarily, I think that, you know, just because you took the job when you were 18 and you thought it was good until you were 25 and then you hated it, and it wasn't paying enough, and you didn't like your boss, that your new boss that came in, and you didn't like the commute, then why should you be forced to stay in that job until you're 65? Everyone would think that you shouldn't, and, you know, we would actually encourage you, go ahead, find a better job. So why should it be much different for a community or a state that wants to forge its own path? They joined the Union. They thought it was great for a while. Now they want to leave. Why should we stop them? We shouldn't. Those are my thoughts on that. That's actually, as I said in one of my other episodes, that's one of the problems I have with the idea of acquiring Greenland. Is people will say, oh, well, Greenland's currently under Denmark's thumb, and they don't like Denmark right now. Okay. So, you want to then move them from being trapped in one arrangement to another? Because just because they don't like Denmark right now, even if that is the case, which I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what some people are saying. Just because they might not like Denmark right now and might want to get away from Denmark doesn't mean they should move from being trapped in one arrangement to being trapped in another. Because I'm concerned that if they chose that at a later date they no longer wanted to be a part of America and they wanted to forge their own destiny and be independent, that they would be barred from doing so. And I don't think that's right. I don't think you should be trapped forever into a union that doesn't always serve you and doesn't always represent you just because you thought it was a good idea to join at one point or another. I think that God gave people the right to self-determination. You can see it in the Bible. I mean, not only did he lead the Hebrews out of Egypt into a land that he had promised that they would have, but also, later on, when the Israelites wanted a king, you know, God told them, hey, this is what will happen if you have a king. And you're not going to like it. But then he gave them a king. So, that shows you that God supports the idea of people having self-determination. There's also a verse in Deuteronomy, I believe it is, that talks about nations having borders. There are many verses that talk in the Old Testament law about not messing with your neighbor's landmark, which is not the exact same thing, but it's kind of along the same lines. So I think that, you know, if peoples want to form their own state, then they should be able to do so. And if that means they need to declare independence from a country or an empire that they're currently a part of, then so be it. I find it funny that a lot of the same people who think that what I'm saying right now is crazy are happy to celebrate 4th of July. Because what was 4th of July other than a celebration of America breaking away from Britain? It was secession from the British Empire. America was declaring independence from the British Empire. And then you'll have people who will point out, oh, well, there was an ocean between America and Britain, which, yes, there was. But you could kind of say the same thing about distance. If you're talking about distance from the capital and federal government, not only physical distance, in some cases, like for California, it's about 3,000 miles to D.C., almost. So it's about the same distance as it was to cross the ocean to get from Britain to the colonies. But also, not even just physical distance, but a more metaphorical distance. Because the federal government does not often represent the needs and wants of the people. It claims to. And we call them representatives, so we claim that they represent us. And sometimes they do represent some of us. Like right now, I like a lot of the policies that are being put forward. But the federal government does not always represent us. It never always represents all of us, because it simply can't, because the country's gotten too big. It's like when they split Carolina into North and South Carolina. Their rationale was, if we leave it as one colony, it's too big to govern. I feel like America's kind of gotten that way. America's too big to be able to fulfill the same mission that was set forth in the Constitution for the federal government to truly be able to represent the entire population. You can even see that in the dilution of representation that has happened, because 435. Now, there weren't that many when the Constitution was created, but even if we assumed that there had always been 435 representatives, 435 representatives would each represent much fewer people when the Constitution was signed and ratified. I guess not signed, but ratified, than 435 do today. And then, you know, you have the senators, that there's two from each state, obviously. That one I don't have quite as much of a problem with, because that's two per state. But even then, you could make the argument that, you know, two senators who represent a state of Wyoming whose population is like 12 are very different than two senators representing 40 million Californians or whatever. So, I don't know. I just think that, you know, a lot of people are talking about this greater America thing, and I kind of think the opposite. I think that, you know, not only that America's kind of lost the plot in that it's too big to fulfill its original mission, but also that if an area wants to leave the Union or wants to leave the state that it's a part of, either one should be perfectly acceptable, and there should be no reason why they should be prevented from doing so. So, those are my thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode or found it to be informative or food for thought. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. And if you'd like, you can send us an email at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. I hope you'll pass this along to anybody you know that may be interested. And thank you for listening. Have a blessed day.